Right, 2 weeks ago, I preached on the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And of course, you all know that I had a bit of a rough week. We all had, I think the whole church had a bit of a rough week. And I was going to preach on Christ-likeness. But I felt later on in the week that I need to preach, having preached on the blood of Jesus, I need to preach about the powerful name of Jesus. Who knows that he's got the name above every other name? Say, there's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When I spoke about the blood of Jesus, and I thought, what are the parallels? And there are parallels. Would I get the exact same thing? No. I was quite surprised. Okay? The blood of Jesus, the 5 points that I raised 2 weeks ago, is that it has power to break the separation from God caused by our sins. So the blood of Jesus is the power to bring us back to Christ, bring us back to God when sin takes us away from Him. Secondly, it has the power to pay for our sins. So the blood is spiritual currency. The blood of Jesus Christ is spirit. It sounds kind of weird, eh? It's almost irreverent to call it spiritual currency. But it purchased our redemption. It purchased our redemption. It paid for our sins. The blood gave us power to give us a clean conscience, to clean our minds from the weight of guilt or because of our sin. The blood has power to sanctify us. In other words, it is the power to take us in a walk of righteousness, continually growing holier and holier in Christ. And finally, the blood has the power to make us overcomers, because we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So this morning we will speak about the name of Jesus, and it's my heart's desire to lift up the name of Jesus. It's my heart's desire to preach Jesus. The word of God says, when Jesus is lifted up, He will draw all men unto Him. So I trust this morning as we lift up the name of Jesus, that not only you will be drawn to Him, but people, even that we can't see, will be drawn to Him, and we call them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I've started this message by saying, what's in the name? Why is the name so important? Cheryl will correct me if I'm right, because I did this while my mind was not with it. But when Cheryl was pregnant with Joshua, we visited at the Newer Myers farm. His parents were still alive. We were Conor and Erica's guests, but his parents were having an event. I still remember the steak we ate that day. But visiting that day, Conrad's dad and mom were very involved in Little Falls. At that time, it was, I think, West Rand Revival Center. They were in the tent. And Pastor Harold Weitz was there. And when he saw Cheryl was pregnant, am I correct? You were pregnant with Josh? He spoke to the two of us and he said, what are you going to name your child? And he spoke to us about the fact that a name holds incredible power. Do you know what your name means? What's in a name? Your name holds incredible power. That is why we have Joshua, Luke, Kirsten, Stephanie, and Sarah Jane. And we looked at those names. I nearly forgot my child's name. I was going to be in big trouble. And I'm so blessed to have Sarah with us this weekend. It's a blessing to have my child with me. Even regardless of the circumstances, we don't care. The blessing is in having you with us. The family's together. But we named them very carefully and very aptly. We gave them biblical names. You might think Stephanie's not a biblical name. Well, it comes from the word Stephen. And Jane is an offshoot of John. Okay. And of course, you understand Joshua and Luke and all of that. But we name them very specifically. And they're living up to their name. And if you read the Bible, who's read the Bible and understood that names of places have meaning and names of people have meaning, and you get to the depth. If you start studying the Bible and a name jumps at you, go and see, go and research. Google's great. Go and search on Google. What does that name mean? I do it all the time. Okay? I research the word sovereign. You know, we speak about the sovereign God. Sovereign means He's the monarch. He's the great monarch. He's above all other. Okay, and we'll speak a bit about that this morning. But what's in a name? Even in the Bible, I took the example of the name Bethlehem, the place where Jesus Christ our Lord was born. It came from two Hebrew words, Beth, meaning house, and Lechem, which means bread. The Savior, the bread of life, came from the house of bread. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That's God's amazing word. His word has secrets buried in it. It's buried treasure, and you and I have got the task to go and dig it up and find it. If you are having a quiet time every day, you can ask the Lord to open your quiet time up so it can be a time of exploration. It can become a time of discovery. It can be a time of great joy. It can be a time of revelation. And God will change your life as you study God's Word instead of just reading it. Oh, I've read this scripture 50,000 times. It means nothing to me. Well, go and look at the words and find out what they mean. Go and find the scripture that links to the scripture you've just read and understand God's Word. There's power in God's Word and there's power in a name. So if we look at the name of Jesus, in Matthew 1 verse 21, the angel instructed Joseph and said this, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua. You shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." Now, if you go and study the name of Jesus, it comes from Yeshua, and you know the Messianic Christians, they don't want to use the name Jesus anymore. But Jesus is just the English translation of the word Yeshua. And it actually comes from Yehoshua or Jehoshua or Joshua, as we would know it. It's the same name, okay? But if we go and have a look at that, and Joshua's name comes from the word Yahweh or Jehovah. Now, if I took the name Jesus, it is Yahweh. It comes from Yahweh or Jehovah. The Jewish people wouldn't even mention those four letters. They wouldn't even want to, they honored and they revered the name so greatly because it was the name of God Himself. Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. And it says, the second part of it, Shua, means God saves. Okay? So, Jesus means Yahweh, or God saves. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Was that too much for you? Is it too intellectual for you? Yahweh saves. Jesus saves. And when God sent the Messiah to the earth, the world, He gave Him a name that had significance. He gave Him a name that says, I'm sending Him there because He will save. But I must tell you, that name, Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of God. We think of Jesus. We think of it fondly. We think, Jesus loves me, this I know. We think of Jesus as our salvation. We think of Him as our Redeemer. But sometimes when we think about Jesus, and this is a key and you need to sit up and take notice now, sometimes when we think of Jesus, we do not think God. We do not think the fullness of the Godhead. But Yahweh entails the fullness of the Godhead. Everything that is in God is embodied in that word Yahweh. And so when Jesus has the name Yahweh saves, everything that is God is entailed in that. And we know that we serve a triune God. We serve Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are one God. It's hard for us to conceive it. It's like the egg. It's got the shell, the egg white, and the yolk. One egg. When you look at the egg, it's an egg. God is, it's almost irreverent to say God is like that. But it's a picture we used to use in the children's church to teach about God. When you say the word Jesus, you're saying God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the fullness of God in heaven. When I call on the name of Jesus, that is what I'm calling on. You're bringing the fullness of God into play, into action. And church, I think sometimes we do not have answer to our prayers because we say the name of Jesus too lightly. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not just calling on Jesus. We're calling on God when we use His name. We sang it this morning. There is no name like it. It's a name beyond compare. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. I heard somebody this morning teaching and saying, aside from God, Jesus is the greatest name. No, they taught wrong because the Word of God says God took what Jesus did and He gave Him the name above every other name, even above His own name. Because His own name is included. Yahweh, God saves. Philippians. You know why Jesus got that name? Because He humbled Himself. Philippians 2 verse 5 to 9. Let this mind, I want you to take your Bibles, please. Church, we can't sit here anymore. We've got to go into the Word of God. Otherwise, next week I'm going to come and preach, and I'm going to preach rubbish just to test you. No, I won't do it because I want to honor God. But people make mistakes. Like I said, I watched something this morning. It was a teaching on the name of Jesus. And they got it wrong. Jesus, Philippians 2, verse 5 to 9, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery, or in other words, he didn't think it was too good for him, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He didn't just come with all sorts of pomp and ceremony. I'm God, yeah. Here I am, my people. Come and bow at my feet and worship me. He could have. In fact, he wouldn't have even done that. He was like, you will worship me. And we would all fall down. That's God, okay? But Jesus didn't come like that. He came humbly as a servant, and he took the form of a man, his creation. He humbled himself to become obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, this is why God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name. It says here, therefore. There was a reason why Jesus was given that name. Because he came humbly. He came as a servant. He came in obedience. Isn't that amazing? He came with humility. He came with sacrifice because he gave his life. And he came in obedience. Those three things. Now, if you and I want to take hold of the power that is promised us by using the name of Jesus, we need to come in the same mindset. It says, let the same mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. So when I want to use the name of Jesus, not only do I need to realize that, you know, as I say Jesus, I call on God Himself, but I need to come in humility, I need to come in obedience, and I need to come in crucifixion. I need to come in self-sacrifice. We rise up daily. He said, if any man will follow me, let him pick up his cross daily and follow me. So we need to come with those three attributes in our minds. Are you with me, church? I'm teaching you this morning. This is what the Lord showed me. He was given the name above every other name because he was humble, he sacrificed himself, and he was obedient. Those three things. And you and I need to come in the same attitude of mind. In humility, in sacrifice, which is tough because it's hard to crucify the flesh, and in obedience. But you know what we do? We come and we're full of ourselves. Because we know God's word and we know the power of God's word. And let me talk about myself here. I don't want to make you feel bad. We come and say, in Jesus' name, you better get out. And I come in a spirit of arrogance. Instead of an attitude of humility. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with saying, in Jesus' name, get out. But I need to watch my attitude. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? They said, in the name of Jesus, which Paul preaches, and I've got no clue who he is, get out, and they got sorted out. If we're going to walk in the power of the name of Jesus, then you and I need to come in a spirit of humility, in a spirit of crucified flesh and in the spirit of obedience. Jesus obeyed the Father even to the point of the death on the cross for you and for I, for me, for you and for I, you and me. I'm going to sort out my English. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. When we call on the name of Jesus, let us call with the right attitude. Let us deal with any arrogance and pride that has got in the way before we use His beautiful name. It's a name above every other name. And if we have found, or if we have realized that we've been walking in any kind of arrogant or proud attitude, then we need to repent of that attitude. And we need to ask God to restore us. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And I think I need to go and pray about it. You need to go and pray about it. Because if we want to flow in the power of the name of Jesus, if we want that power, if we want answered prayers, if we want miracles to happen, if we want the dead to be raised, deaf ears to be open, the mute to speak, blind to see, we need to check our attitude.
Amen.
Amen. Secondly, so the first point that I said is that there's no other name like it, and we need to use it in the right way, with the right attitude. And then I've got a few points, and I don't think this message by any means includes all of what the Word of God says about the name of Jesus. Remember this morning I'm preaching on the name of Jesus alone and not on the name of the Lord. Okay? So one and the same thing. But I'm not going to go into the Old Testament and speak about Adonai and El Shaddai. And I'm speaking about the name of Jesus, Yeshua. The first point I want to make is there's powerful salvation in the name of Jesus. The promise of Jesus, or the promise of salvation, is tied up. The angel said, you will name him Jesus because he comes to save his people. In Acts 2 verse 29, 2 verse 21, I want to hear those Bibles going as we go. Acts 2 verse 21, just turn there. And then while you're there, you can turn and put another marker in John 14 verse 6. Acts 2 verse 21 and John 14 verse 6. Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want salvation, we know that salvation comes if we believe in our hearts that Jesus died. We confess with our mouth that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. But before we can do that, we need to confess it. Who are we calling on? We're calling on his name. We're calling on God. That's how salvation comes. No matter what the world says, or no matter what even the church says, those who have drifted away from God's word, the only way to be saved or to be born again is by calling on the name of Jesus. Now, I'm aware of a certain church on the West Rand here that a couple of weeks ago had people from different religions coming in, and they started teaching it all leads to the same place. So if you're a Buddhist, or if you're a this or that, it all leads. I'll tell you right now, it's rubbish, it's deception, it's a lie. Because the Word of God says in John 14 verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Amen. If anybody tells you anything different from that, you say you're a liar. Okay, you can tell them to their face. Okay, be nice about it. Correct them in gentleness. That's what the Word of God says. The name of Jesus is key to coming to the Father. It's key to being born again. Right. Second point is that there's power over Satan and every evil force in the name of Jesus. Now, you know this, church. Our God is omnipotent. He cannot be beaten. We sang the words today. It's a matchless name. It's a name without compare. He's the supreme ruler. He is the one that has got a name that is absolutely above every other name. And his omnipotence and his power is wrapped up. When we say the name Jesus, we speak power. Amen. It's wrapped up in that name because Yahweh is part of the name Jesus. So when we speak it, we need to realize we speak power. When people use his name as a swear word, they mock God to the nth degree. And they put themselves at risk of the power of the living God destroying their lives. So we better be careful how we use the name of Jesus. Philippians, if you'll turn there with me and stay there. Philippians 2, where we were earlier on, said that he was humble and therefore God gave him the name above every other name. In chapter 2, verse 10 to 11, it says this. Because he's been given the name above every name, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The first reason that the name of Jesus is named is to give God glory. Okay. But every knee shall bow, not just some. Just say that to the person next to you. Not just some. Every knee. Every knee. Amen. Of those on the earth, man. Of those above the earth, the angels. Those beneath the earth, the demons. Every power and principality, the rulers of the darkness of this age, and every spiritual host of wickedness in high places. Every one shall bow that name. And then it says, some tongues will confess. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When Paul and Silas were walking and preaching, and that servant, the slave girl, with her spirit of divination came behind them, she kept on saying for 3 days, these are servants of the Most High God, and they are preaching the way to salvation. And finally, Paul got sick and tired of it and said, get out in Jesus' name, and the demon went. But that demon couldn't help itself. That's why. Why would a demon want to say, hey, these are the ones. He wouldn't want to. But it couldn't help it. Because the name of Jesus made even those that are under the earth bow and confess it. Even Satan has to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He bows his knee. He doesn't want to. He goes, ah! But he has to bow down and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I want you to picture that in your mind, church, because you need to understand your authority in Jesus Christ. In Mark 5, verse 6 to 8, speaks about another demon-possessed man. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. It wasn't the man, it was the demon. He ran and worshipped at Jesus' feet. He couldn't help it. That's the power in the name of Jesus. You've got authority, church. Then I saw this morning as I was going through my life, he ran and he worshipped him. Yes, it was the man that ran, but whose power was he under? Do you think that that demon wanted to run to Jesus? He knew he was going to have an encounter with the living God. He knew he was going to get cast out. He wanted to run in the other direction, but he couldn't help himself. It was like Balaam trying to curse the Israelites. He wanted to speak out of curse. Bless them, Lord. Amen. That's the power in the name of... Are you with me, church? Let me tell you, if you are missing this, you're missing it all. We have authority, church. And he cried out in a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus? The same demon that ran to Jesus. He said, what have I got to do with you, Jesus? He had to name that name, the name above every other name. Son of the Most High God. He had to acknowledge that Jesus Christ was Yahweh. I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Why didn't he just turn and run away? He couldn't. He was captivated by the name of Jesus. Church, this church is far too silent for what I'm preaching this morning. You should be jumping in your chairs. I was going to say you should be jumping on your chairs. Please don't. Okay. You and I have access to that name Jesus. We're not using it as a swear word. We're not using it to declare our shock. We're using it because we have authority. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said, whatever you do in my name, he gave us permission. He gave us authority. We have that access. I'm going to just go for the sake of time. We have access to that same power. Luke 10, verse 17. This is one of my favorite areas of the Word of God. Luke 10, verse 17 to 19. The first bit is Luke 10, 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. Say with me, to us, in your name. Church, when we walk, we should be expecting the demon possessed to run and fall at our feet. Not to worship us, but to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is in us and with us and through us and everything. Am I preaching stuff that is kind of weird to you? Actually, it should be, okay? Because we haven't been thinking this way. This is revelation. You need to realize God's given you a word this morning. And when we deal with him, we say, get out in Jesus' name, to go. Cheryl and I, a number of years ago, Sarah had a boyfriend who was pretty troubled, and his mom was pretty troubled. She was demon-possessed. One morning she came to our house, and she was speaking to us, and God opened the door. And she realized that she needed deliverance, and we said, can we help you? We'd never taken somebody through deliverance, ever. We'd seen it happen, but we'd never done it. We took her into our backyard. We didn't want to cast them out in the house. Took her into our backyard. And we started praying for her, Cheryl and I. And at a later stage, Joshua came and joined us. He was young, so he was still in school. And by God's grace, we helped that lady go through deliverance. We went to her house. There were pictures of dragons all over the place. She had tarot cards. I burnt those tarot cards. You know those things didn't want to burn? But they burned with a green flame, magic flame. But we took authority over those demons. We'd never done it before. But we did it in the name of Jesus. And they came out. Sadly, that lady never went all the way. She started coming to church with us. She started, her whole countenance changed. Her face changed. Her life started to change. But she never left it all. She went back. That's her problem. She made a choice. You understand what I'm saying? Our job is to go, heal, deliver, and set free in the name of Jesus. And church, you and I, what I said earlier on, we are God's army. God's calling us to go out there in His name and do it. Are we going to? Carries on in verse 18, it says, "And He said to them, Jesus, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you, that's you, authority. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions." Did He mean serpents and scorpions, snakes and scorpions? No. I mean, how stupid it. Are you going to go and stand on a snake and scorpion with sandals? No. He was talking about demonic powers, demonic forces. The Bible speaks about demonic forces as snakes and scorpions. Okay? It represents demon. I give you authority to go and trample on snakes and scorpions, and you will no means be harmed by them. That's what He said. They will by no means harm you. And then He said, but don't rejoice in this. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. You know what He's saying? This is fantastic stuff. It's great. Thank you that you've got such joy. But you know what's more exciting? The fact that you're going to heaven. So this should just be part of our kind of everyday life. I've preached this before. Casting out demons. Just get out. And we just carry on. Okay? I'm not speaking about arrogance. I'm speaking about where we should be in our understanding and our faith. God is telling us, church, to go to a new level of faith and understanding of the authority and the power we have in His name. There is more power in His name than in all the angels, all the demons, in Satan, and anything else on this earth. There's more power in that name than anything else on the earth. When we use the name of Jesus, we are using a power. God has given us authority and power to use something that is more powerful than the atomic bomb. Amen. Because in the spiritual realm, it blows up the enemy to bits and shreds. God didn't want you to hear this message today. He would have done anything. I mean, God. Satan didn't want you to hear this message today. He would have done anything to keep you out of here today. Maybe if you have a look around, you'll notice. People have stayed away today. Maybe they woke up with a headache. Maybe they weren't feeling well. Maybe they got distracted to have to do something. Maybe they're gone shopping. Maybe it's because at the end of the month you bring your tithes. I don't know. But you see, the enemy will use anything to prevent you from knowing the authority and the power you have in the name of Jesus. And church, we need to stand up in that authority and power. Amen. Amen. Whew. When you access that name, you access the very presence and the power and the person of Almighty God, Yahweh. Yahweh saves, Jesus. And there's power in His name, not just to cast out demons, but to do supernatural wonders. In John 14, verse 12 to 13, I memorized this just 2 weeks ago. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." Say, "I will also do them." Say, "I will also do them." Do you believe it, church? If Jesus said we will do it, we will do it. And greater works than these He will do. Because I go to my Father, and look what He says here. "Whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Do you see that? Twice we've heard now. Why have we got the name of Jesus? Father may be glorified. Okay, so we're not going to ask for my red Ferrari. Who's getting glorified? Check it, me. Do you think God's going to answer that prayer? That is the proviso. In the book of James, James 4 verse 3, it says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss. You ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend it on your pleasures." So when I use the name of Jesus, and I come in full faith, and I say, "Lord, I'm trusting you in faith for my red Ferrari," He just turns His back and walks away. Because I ask amiss for my own pleasure. But when I ask it, because Shanae needs deliverance, because Shanae needs healing, that was meant to be funny, okay? Because Shanae needs healing, God doesn't turn His back. He says, "Yes, I will do it." But I need to come in full faith. I need to come in humility. I need to come with a crucified heart, and I need to come in obedience. And I need to come knowing that I'm about to release an atomic bomb in the spirit. Are you with me, church? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got power, but we mustn't ask amiss. Right. But what does it say here? Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What did Jesus do? It's a handful of things. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He delivered the demon-possessed. He taught people about God. And he performed miracles. At the wedding in Cana. On the sea. He stilled the sea. He did amazing things. Amazing miracles. Those are the things he did. He said, the things that I do, and greater than these, what you can't even conceive, you can do. Mark 16, verse 17 to 19 gives us an example of some of those things. And these signs will follow those who believe. Who's those who believe? Can I see your hand? Do you believe? If you believe, put up your hand high. Okay. Say, they will follow me. Church, say it in faith. They will cast out demons. Sorry, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. That's a revelation. We pray for people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Church, we need to start praying, in the name of Jesus, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because it says, in my name they will speak in new tongues. It's a revelation. I don't think I might have prayed that way, but I've never realized I need to pray in the name of Jesus and ask for the baptism with tongues and interpretation and the gifts of the Spirit. They will take up serpents. Now, there's a church in America where they play with rattlesnakes. This net big is stupid, they think. And if they drink anything deadly, don't go and try and commit suicide. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God says, if you believe and you do it in His name, you can do those signs and wonders. You and me. And I believe, when I prayed for Monet last Saturday morning, I truly in my heart believe God would raise him from the dead. There was a reason he didn't get raised. But God promised me in the week. He said, you will. You will. And there's going to come a day that I will see the dead raised as I lay hands on them. Not for my benefit. Not for pride. I will see it. I confess it now. I speak it into being in the spiritual realm. You can see the dead raised. You can see the blind seeing. You can see the lame walking. I'm not going to go much further. You and I have that power. We see too few miracles taking place, church. There are lots of miracles that happen, but we see too few of these amazing, powerful miracles. Is it possible that we're asking in the powerful name of Jesus, but we've got doubt in our heart? Or is there possibly sin preventing our prayers from being heard? And pride, and maybe arrogance, like I said earlier on. It's time to start praying in the full belief that what I ask for, it will be done. And I challenge you this morning, church, are you willing to start praying in the name of Jesus and expecting results? And you know what? If you pray and it doesn't happen, pray again. If you pray and it doesn't happen, move along. Pray for somebody else. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. And all of a sudden, it's going to be like a breakthrough, a dam break. You know, the dams are now full. But can you imagine if there was just, every time I pray in the name of Jesus, that crack gets a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, and whoosh, there comes the breakthrough. Keep trying. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Amen. So now, as I conclude, the magnificent name of Jesus, there's no other name like it. It's the power of God for salvation. It carries power over Satan and evil forces. It carries power to do signs and wonders. Colossians 3 verse 17 says this, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. By no means have I preached an exhaustive sermon this morning. It says, yeah, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name. Everything we do, whether I work in my workplace, whether I drive in my car, whether I preach at the pulpit, whether I sing a song, whether I go to bed at night, can I do it in the name of Jesus? Giving thanks to the Father through Him. There again comes the glorification of God. There's so much more I could have said this morning. We have such power available to us. But let us take what we've heard this morning and let us make it an act of faith.